Manufacturing Revival Radio. Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, and MODEX, the greatest supply chain show on earth. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Segrid, the global leader in vision-guided flexible AGVs. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon. This is Todd and Todd live from MODEX, Manufacturing Revival on location. We're having a great time so far, Todd. We got an exciting guest up next. Before we do that, though, quick shout-out to our sponsor today, Segrid. Segrid. And what a great talking to the chief technology guy from Segrid.
Wow,
I learned a couple things. I didn't realize there were five pairs of eyeballs on that AGV right here behind us. I trust it more now.
Five pairs of eyeballs, a hell of a lot better than our eyeballs, I can tell you that.
Well, our next guest is a gentleman named Tom Lee. He's the president of DM Logic. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Tom, before we get into a conversation, take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I'm about a 20-year veteran in the warehouse management system space. Educational background is industrial engineering, but I've been in implementing and working with warehouse management systems in many, many different verticals and industries in that space for the better part of 20 years, doing everything from project management to consulting and, you know, just about everything in that space. A lot of good relationships with customers for a long period of time and a lot of other partnerships established over the years in and around that space.
Outstanding. Well, DM Logic, give us the 10,000-foot view. What do? How do you serve your market?
So DM Logic's a technology solutions company focused in the warehouse management system space. We implement warehouse management systems. We'll do support for them, you know, enhancements, anything inside the four walls of your warehouse from a technology standpoint, we feel that we can, you know, assist our customers with. It might not be our, you know, for instance, material handling. We have partners for material handling, but from a warehousing management system standpoint, I think in your distribution center, we can service our customers through our knowledge and the resources that we have there.
Tom, get a layer or two deeper and talk about some of the problems that you help your customers address.
Well, it's interesting because over the course of years, you know, we were always focused with the system that, you know, I worked for a vendor, you know, and we had a warehouse management system and we sold and we implemented. And over the course of years, you know, many of those systems were vertical. You know, one was specialized for retail, one was very, very in pharmaceutical space. But a lot of those systems have come up to the same standard, the same level of functionality. Where we focus our efforts now is to try to help our customers be more responsive and adaptive to meet the challenges that they have with their system. So, you know, their core competency might be something that's slightly off-center from what the warehouse management system does, and that's where we focus our efforts. We help them achieve better results with the investments they have. Now, we have our own, we do sell and implement warehouse management systems, but we do a lot of work allowing our customers getting a little bit more out of what they already have invested in.
It's always exciting to walk across this floor and see some new innovation and see slight little improvements that have a dramatic impact. What's driving innovation in this space? I mean, it's just fascinating to see where it's going.
Yeah, it is. And so innovation, I mean, it's just, I think it's a continuing trend that, you know, you want to get more out of your investment. You want to have flexible operations. You want to have efficient operations. And you want the most out of your human capital. So where you see a lot of the trend and a lot of the push is to try to get that human capital to do things that are a little bit more productive, more efficient for them. So, you know, automation helps bridge that gap. And, you know the secret AGVs is just one way that that's happening.
One of the things about innovation that some of us, me included, find very frustrating is and somebody like you, I'm too sure, can see an application of an innovative technology and say, oh my gosh, everybody ought to be doing this, and yet the customer base, the consumer for it, doesn't quite get it or is too risk-averse to go ahead and implement it. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's challenging, and you're always trying to give the customers their, you know, you can't just show them a piece of paper and say, here's what your return on investment is going to be. You have to sort of prove it to them and say, okay, here's, you know, take them to somebody else's facility and say, see how they're doing it. Have, you know, your customers, your partners are your best advocates, so they can assist with that as well, too, but you know, there's a lot of barriers to new technology, and a lot of companies look at you know, things differently, and you have to identify who the decision makers are. You know, sometimes the decision maker is not the operations guy, it's the financial guy.
Right.
And that's, you know, identifying that up front goes a long way in terms of what kind of message you're trying to deliver.
You've been a keen observer of the materials handling space now for about 20 years, you said. What's been the most dramatic change that you've seen over that span in terms of mindset and attitude towards innovation and technology? I mean, what's been the biggest change you've seen?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, letting go of what, allowing that human capital to transition to something different and let go of the things that they're commonly accustomed to. You know, a driverless forklift is something that you didn't think of a couple years ago.
Wasn't that long ago you thought that's not possible.
Right. And when you thought material handling automation, you thought primarily just conveyors and sortation or high density storage or things like that. But now you're getting to see, and those things are sort of stood off on the side. You didn't have a whole lot of human interaction with that. Or, you know, these AGVs are running alongside of ones that are manned. You know, so that's something that you don't, you know, so the robots are integrating themselves into the human side of things as well.
Well, let's look further into the future. Look out 3-5 years. What technologies do you see on the horizon that are going to get further integrated with this kind of stuff?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine, but I was just reading, it's funny, on the plane right down here, I was reading an article about, you know, Amazon has their thing with the rope, with the drones. You know?
Right, right.
And there's a lot of challenges to that. But I was reading an article about where they think the next automation is going to be at a macro level, not in the distribution centers, but it's the shipping vessels are going to be manless. They're going to be controlled by guys on shore driving the ships remotely. And it's a whole lot easier, a whole lot safer. There's a whole lot. It's probably
the value of that? Is it just safety?
No, there's efficiencies in shipping. If you run them at like 60% of their total speed, you save on fuel. It's a more efficient fuel. And as long as you can have the manpower, you know, obviously you don't have to have to man a ship. And you know, that never struck me as a job that was going to be real exciting to be on a boat for a few months without seeing land. But there's a lot of things there that can. A lot of efficiencies and cost savings and things like that there. So, but as far as what it is, I mean, I think a lot of it's going to be, you know, what we're seeing here and with the robotics. And Kiva's got an application. Secret's got an application. If you look around here, everyone's got something that's automating something. But it's really neat.
We just spoke to Mitchell Weiss, who's the CEO of Secret, and what he was sort of intimating, Todd, if I understood him correctly, was the company that's going to be the hot thing in 5 years. We haven't figured out yet what that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will observe something that will maybe even be a minute change, but it will have a dramatic impact. And we probably don't know what that is at this point. 5 years is too far out to really know what that kind of thing could be.
And it's happening very quickly, too, right?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something interesting. You read an article on the plane ride down.
Mm-hmm.
And as media guys, we're kind of interested in how different kinds of media, you know, be it print or be it audio or video or social media or whatever, are helping to spread the knowledge of this kind of technology and innovation we're talking about. What's your perspective on how the media is shaping what people are learning about and figuring out how to apply in terms of this technology?
Well, I think the social media side of things is neat because it's a lot of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get things to be more efficient and very quick response times. You know, all this automation here is about making things faster and more efficient, and I think that's what the social media and the other types of electronic media are going towards these days, where it's, you know, you can see the crowdsourcing is neat because you can it's a very quick response, and you can the feedback is instantaneous. You can see what's popular and what's getting people's attention, and that I think that's, you know, there are some parallels there to the automation that we see.
I was just going
to
say, boy, you're taking inputs and doing something with it. Mm-hmm. We've been talking really from a perspective of the industry as a whole. Let's talk for a quick sec about DM Logic. What should we be looking from you for the next couple of years?
Well, so continuing on that trend, and what I like about Secret is they're very focused, you know, and our partnership with them I think is going to be great because, you know, they're focused on what they do and we're focused on what we do. We don't have a whole lot of overlap in that, but we have a singular focus and we're, you know, everything is driven by the customer. What DM Logic's going towards, we're trying to bring new applications to our customers and empower them to make changes in their distribution operations. And we have some technology that allows them to be able to do that without lines of code and change their warehouse systems by empowering the human capital that they have to make those same changes themselves by using our applications.
Hey, you're talking about your partnership with Secret, and I think partnering in general is something that all of us in the industry need to get better at. What are your thoughts on that? How do you first identify someone that's a logical partner for DM Logic and then work through all of the details to make it work?
Making sure that you're philosophically in the same mindset is the first important part, because you need to have, if you have differing philosophies, you're never going to have it'll be a much more challenging partnership. But focusing on the customer, and B, on what you do and what your core competency is, and not trying to be everything to everybody, is, I think, very important. I think we have a lot of similarities in that respect. So through our discussions on these partnerships, it's very easy that there's not a whole lot of overlap, and it's very complementary in terms of our service and our offering. So that goes a long way. And just having that trust in a partner and knowing that you're bringing something to the table that's of value to them and vice versa. And that's probably the most important thing, to have an understanding of whether the partnership's going to work.
This may be an unfair question, being it's only day one of MODEX, but any sense yet, what will be your biggest takeaway from MODEX 2014?
I'm very hopeful that we're going to get a lot of positive feedback on our philosophical approach and what we think is important to the industry. And, you know, we've been around for 20 years, so it'll be nice to have that validated. You know, it's, okay, this is where we think we're going. This is what we think is going to be very important to you. A lot of these people have, you know, on the system side of things, they have achieved their return on investment. They don't want to replace systems. There's no whole lot of advantage in them doing that. Augmenting what they already have in place with robotics in the warehouse or with a piece of software like we offer that sits on top of their current investment and makes that a little bit more efficient or more productive, you know, enhances the flexibility of it, is, you know, I think that's a big thing. Walking out of here with that kind of validation would be what I'm looking for.
Be a big thing. All right. Well, Tom, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about DM Logic?
Our website is www.dmlogicllc.com.
Tom Lee, the president of DM Logic. Tom, it's great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate being here.
It was our pleasure. All right. Well, that wraps our live coverage from MODEX. Again, a special thanks to Segret for backing today's broadcast. On behalf of today's guest, Tom Lee, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick, Manufacturing Revival Radio. We'll be right back.